Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second free throw is good. Sixers down three. They have to go the length of the court in 1.8. No timeouts. Simmons throws it into the backcourt. Jimmy Butler steps around. Gordon Hayward does not get the shot away in time, and the Celtics have done it. Without Kyrie Irving, without Aaron Baines, they have come down to Philadelphia and beaten the Sixers again. And if it is always darkest, dawn may just have broken for the Boston Celtics. The final score, Boston 112, Philadelphia 109.
(617) 779-0985 is the phone number. Last night, Celtics get what is a nice rebound type of win. Nice effort. Good win on the road. Gordon Hayward had himself a good night.
Good effort.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens later this hour. 12:50, Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Just a good response. They had a couple of really horrible losses. The latest on Saturday night was the worst of the, really, the season, and the worst of the two that they had.
Yeah.
And so there seemed to be a response last night, which I think we can all take as a positive.
Absolutely.
The weird part about this win is that Kyrie Irving wasn't a part of it, which makes us closer examine some of the numbers for Gordon Hayward when Kyrie doesn't play, and how much better Gordon Hayward is. Kyrie Irving does not play. So we're talking about that today. But also, we have not touched on this yet, and that is Joel Embiid, who, as you said earlier, Zoe, you think he's a soft player.
I think he's a soft big guy.
A soft seven-footer.
He likes to talk the talk. I don't think he walks it. I know the numbers are good for him, and he could put up huge numbers. But in all actuality, you look at him at the end of those games, especially in the playoffs last year, he got his ass stuffed. Like, you owned his ass. Really. I mean, he didn't come through in the end. He missed some key shots. I just don't think he's a finisher. And I just don't think – when you have their coach going to the podium saying that he got out-physicaled by Al Horford, an aging Al Horford. He's a physical player, just a tough matchup for us. Really? Embiid should dunk over top him. Give me a break.
So Embiid goes up to the podium last night and rails against the referees.
Oh, it's always the ref's fault.
Yeah. And this is how he did it. This is how he did it. Before he got up, he had one final thing to say at the podium. He was done, right? His press conference was over. And he sort of leans back to the mic for one last thing before he goes.
Yep, got something to
listen.
Say.
The referee sucks.
The referee bleeping sucked.
The referee sucks.
That's what he had last night before he left the podium.
That'll go over well for him.
What a crybaby. That's so bad. And you know what? I'm not against players criticizing officials. If you're going to do it, though, do it. Say what you thought was wrong. And you're going to get fined either way. Yeah. You're going to get fined whether you sit there and say, listen, I think that they have this, that, the other thing wrong. And this is why I think they're wrong, which I'm never against. I mean, as fans, we love that, right?
Yeah.
We love, I mean, coaches and players are so hesitant to do it because they get heavily fined whenever they do it. He's going to get fined just the same for what he did at the end last night.
There was one egregious call at the end of that game, though. Yeah, Horford jumped on his back.
That's fine.
And they didn't get a foul call.
That's fine. I'm not disagreeing with him saying, you know, disagreeing with the officiating. It just... I don't know. It just seems like sour grapes. And it speaks to the Celtics being in the head of the 76ers.
Right.
The Celtics have caught a very good break here by simply playing, as Brett Brown would say, a more physical game. They play a more physical game than we do. Right?
Yeah.
Who looked like a more physical player last night, Al Horford or Joel Embiid?
Horford.
Al Horford.
It's not even close.
No, I don't think it is.
Like, Joel Embiid With that type of size that he has and his explosiveness and his youth, should look at a matchup against a guy like Al Horford and say, I'm going to outwill myself. I'm going to take the old man. I'm going to post his ass up, and I'm going to dunk on his head. And he can't, because Al does all the little things well. It's the positioning.
He also said when he was asked about Al Horford, Joel Embiid said he's not doing anything because obviously, you know, hey, you had a rough night against Horford.
Yeah.
This is what he said. He's not doing anything. I was sleepwalking for three quarters, and that's on me.
I love that quote when I saw
it. Oh, how many times did they beat the Celtics this year?
I was really... Oh, I'm sorry. When is it not on you?
Oh, for three.
Oh, that's on me. I decided to sleepwalk for three quarters. Oh, it's on me. Oh, well, who else would that be on if that were the case? And by the way, it wasn't. That's not a good excuse. Oh, no, no, no. I didn't get beat. I just quit. That's just... What? Wait, that's not a good reason.
Yeah. Isn't this a guy that shows up barefoot before games and plays a little hacky sack with a soccer ball?
I wouldn't let you beat me. Yeah. I quit first. What does that even mean?
Al Horford must love playing against him. Like, he knows he's going to get his points, but we're going to kick his ass.
No, this is a rivalry game, and I decided not to show up. Yeah. That is what Joel Embiid said. I decided not to play for the first three quarters.
We, the Sixers, we're playing at home. They don't have Kyrie. They're right for the picking. Yeah, Marcus Morris calling a team out. We could go out there and just smoke these guys.
They are a mentally weak team, those 76ers.
They are.
Mentally weak.
The coach just enables it.
He does.
He totally does.
Or he's not prepared to.
Oh, the physicality of the game.
He's ill-prepared to try and fix it. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Adam in the car. Let's try this again. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
I got a quick question. You guys noticed LeBron James' all-star team?
Oh, yeah.
And him going to the Lakers?
They're
all free agents?
Yep.
That's incredible. And I want to add something else about Celtics and what they should possibly do in the offseason. Well, I was listening. You guys said the stats without Kyrie, we're 8-2, and we don't know if guaranteed if we do get AD, if he stays or Kyrie stays. What if we wash that out the window, try and get DeAndre Jordan? I forget how to say his first name. Sorry,
DeAndre Jordan.
Pick him up and possible move up in the draft pick and pick up the next LeBron James from Duke, Zion Williams.
Yeah, that's,
I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
That doesn't feel like a better plan than trying to keep Kyrie and trying to trade for Anthony Davis. If the Celtics go to... Here's what's good for the Celtics. I don't think there's a scenario in which... And you know what? I don't know, because I don't know what they might think about this. If they lose Kyrie, and they know they're losing Kyrie, do they still make a trade for Anthony Davis?
No.
I hope not.
No, you're back in the same spot.
On a one-year flyer with nothing that keeps him here?
No.
I would not do that.
No.
Unless it's part of like a sign-and-trade where Kyrie's going out and you're bringing in another max guy in Davis. That's the only way they would do it.
Yeah, but you only have Davis for a year.
Yeah, but you're losing Kyrie to free agency anyways. If you can sign and trade him and get an asset for him.
Oh, I get what you're saying, where the only thing you give up is Kyrie.
Yeah, but you're giving up Tatum to get him. No, I don't do it then.
I'm assuming
you're not in that
scenario.
I'm saying that's the only way you do it.
Give up Jason Tatum to go get this guy with the fact you know that Kyrie's.
Yeah, let's rephrase it then, Jim.
Did you see the way Anthony Davis played last night, by the way? What did he have? 1 point in 24 minutes? He's basically just tanking now at this point. He's getting booed when he touches the ball at home.
Wow. That's pretty good.
He's quitting.
Love that.
I think he had under 5 points. I don't know what he finished with, but he had 1 point at halftime.
Don't you just love a league where you could just tank it and just quit? You could quit and just pout, and then you're going to get your way, and you could sit, and you're going to get paid, and you're going to get max money. All that's a great league. Great league you got there. That pisses me off. Go out there and just tank. Oh, boo. Oh, I don't want to be here. I want to go to Boston. I want to get the max there.
Elmo is up next with a thought on the Celtics last night. Elmo.
Hey, what's happening, boys?
Hey, what's up?
Time, long time.
What's up?
Hey, listen, I got to tell you, last night, you know, they played well, they played tough, and I think they played better without Kyrie. I really do. They play a different type of game, more physical.
I think the ball moves better without Kyrie, that's for sure. I think we saw some of that last night. Steve is in Stoneham with a Bruins thought today. Steve.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'm a little bit concerned about Don Sweeney and the trades that he might make going forward. I think... an opportunity would do something with St. Louis about a month or so ago, And he dragged his feet on that one, and now St. Louis is back in the playoff race. So I think that's something that they let go by. And I'm concerned about, you know, now that all the general managers know that they have to make a deal because of Pastrnak's injury. And it concerns me also that I think these young players, I think he overvalues them. I'm afraid that they're going to become the next crop of Lion Spooners here. So I'm wondering what you think about this and Sweeney potentially making some trades. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. I don't think this Pastrnak deal makes it harder for the Bruins to do a deal unless they're talking about higher-end talent. If you're shopping for third-line players, does the price go up because you don't have David Pastrnak? And are there so few third-line type of players on the market that you have to do a deal with whoever it is you're talking to? You could say, screw you, I'm going to move on to another team. So unless they're talking about getting someone who's, you know, top-level type of talent, David Pastrnak in that ballpark, which is sort of elite offensive talent, then I don't know how much that's going to hurt them. I get it. I get what you're saying. They're going to be pressed to make a deal. They're going to be pressed to make their team better. But there's a lot of other teams you can work with on deals. So you can continue to shop. You can also just flat out say no is what you can do. Say nope. And I'm also curious to know what they really do know, if they know that this is a longer-term injury for Pastrnak and they're not letting on to it.
Reevaluate it in 2 weeks.
More definitive timeline
is what he said. More definitive timeline.
Should make it back this year. Yeah. Well, those don't really line up with each other.
A more definitive timeline in 2 weeks.
Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Hey, man!
Hey! We go to Jamaica, man!
I say, hey, man!
It's
not reggae.
I feel like to go to Jamaica on the cruise. Hey, get you feeling fun. 84 and sunny. Smells like cocoa butter. Put it back on, Jim.
Hey. It's over. It's 47
catchy
seconds.
Catchy new bed.
Over.
I like that.
Over.
These are getting rid of those old rock ones. It's good. Good job, Hardy.
No one talks more about the rejoins than you.
Well, something's different. Hey, something, you got to talk about it. Pops.
You don't have
that
to.
Pops.
In fact, you don't have to.
Yeah, I like talking about it.
Tommy Curran wrote 3 days ago
on
NBCSportsBoston.com. The headline, after last year's challenges, a zero-drama offseason awaits the Patriots. He says, now that the confetti's been swept up in both Atlanta and Boston, focus on the Patriots finally turns fully, he writes, to 2019. The thing the Patriots won't be dealing with, according to a source, is infighting. There is zero drama right now, I was told. It's a big departure from last year, and this one will be really normal relative to the challenges a team faces in the offseason. Source saying it will be normal. There will be no drama. Everyone's getting along. There's no fighting.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of picks in first couple rounds of this draft. You definitely have needs. You're going to say goodbye to certain guys, certain core guys that have been here. But I still think the mainstays are still here. You know, you got big turnover within the staff. I think that's something nobody's talking about. The amount of coaches that have departed.
Yeah, right. I mean,
that's
a huge brain drain on this team right now.
Yeah.
Guys who've been here a while, too.
Yeah.
But the drama part was about Brady and Belichick and Brady and Gronkowski and
gone.
Gronk. And is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gone.
So are we expecting Tom Brady to get a new contract in the coming weeks? When's the combine?
Combine is what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. So his deals have typically been done.
A week?
Off-season deals for him have typically happened right around the combine.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Okay, so maybe in the next month, you know, we're expecting a new deal. Are you expecting Brady to get a new contract before next season?
He has to. Because of the cap number.
Okay.
And You are. Yeah.
Most people are.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations. We have multiple conversations with Jonathan Kraft, who wouldn't say what's going on.
He gave the ha-ha. We all kind of know where we're heading.
He mentioned in the first interview, everyone should realize and understand that there's an understanding. That's the phrase. Understand that there's an understanding.
Right.
So why is Bert so adamant every time he's asked, whether it's here with us or on TV, that they haven't started talking yet? Or as of Super Bowl week, they hadn't started talking yet?
Well,
because I've heard him say it three or four times. He's been adamant about it.
Maybe that's the answer.
When
he
said that, and I don't know what the status has been since, he was correct at the time that they had not started talking, but that the people involved on both sides felt confident because there was an understanding of where it was going to go, even though they hadn't sat down to actually discuss it. So they both had it.
Telepathic understanding?
Well, this is what I would say. And I'm getting to it. I'm working my way into it, Jim. All right? I'm setting it up. Jonathan, again, when he talked to us at the Super Bowl in Radio Row, I said, well, you told us to understand that there's an understanding. And what did he do? He went, yep. It was like, yep, and I'm going to leave it at that. And so that is something that needs to play out. And if there's an understanding and both of those sides, as Jim just said, are feeling good about what the expectations are, they feel they have similar expectations going into the deal. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Who's that?
Tom sent something to our private check text chain that distracted Zoe.
Jesus, Tom. Go ahead.
What if they get to the table and all of a sudden they didn't realize that their expectations were not exactly aligned with each other?
Right. I know this. I've seen representation at the last three postseason games.
Oh,
the
good.
Chargers game, the KC game, and the Super Bowl. I've seen Donnie and Dubin both there in every game. So maybe it's a hands-on. Let's see how the kid plays. I don't think they're negotiating. I'm with Bert on that. No need to do that right now. See how he finishes. See how this team finishes. Tell you what, he gets another ring. We're going to talk. They're going to talk. So they're witnessing.
Which could open the door for the two sides to get to the table and not have the same number in mind. Or in the same structure in mind.
Doesn't that always happen?
Or same language in mind. Or same length of contract in mind. Something could be off there. And then you open up this whole can of worms again. The other thing is, and I think this one's actually more pertinent to this discussion about the infighting and the drama. What if the terms that Rob Gronkowski will be asked to return on if he decides he wants to keep playing are not palatable for him?
Then he walks.
What if he makes the decision that he wants to play and Tom Brady convinces him to play and he says, okay, I'll play. And then he finds out that his number is not one that he likes and it's low. And he turns around and says to Tom Brady, can you believe what they're trying to pay me?
Oh, then that stuff is, I think we're past that, but I think, does he really want to go down that road?
Why are we past that?
Because I think
based on what?
They got to have the answer going into the freaking draft to draft the next guy then.
Okay.
You better figure out what Gronkowski's going to do. Not until May, not until June.
What if it happens tomorrow?
Hey, Rob, we need to know. And I think Rob said that too. I'm going to take about a week
weeks.
Or so.
He said a couple weeks.
And that's not May.
Time around.
And that's not May. So they told him, here's your deadline.
Okay. Right? We're 10 days out.
He doesn't float that out.
What if
I'm
it happens next
it.
Monday, though? That's long before the draft. If Monday, they call Gronk and say, Gronk, what's the deal? You're playing? And he goes, you know what? I've decided I want to play. I've talked to my teammates, and we want to try and do this again. And I've talked to Tom, and I'm committed. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to come back. And they say, oh, okay. Well, we're going to pay you like $5 million. Is that cool?
Then that's what he needs to decide.
Well, no, it's not cool. Why do I want to make that? And then he gets insulted by whatever it might be, and he turns around and calls Tom. And who's Tom going to side with on that one? Who's he sided with in the past 12 months?
He's sided with the tight end, but look at the production. I mean, come on. Tom's not stupid. You get paid when you produce.
Now, none of this could happen. Maybe all of a sudden they've got a great big deal for Brady that he loves, and they've got a number that Gronk thinks is fair, and none of this comes into play.
You guys do what you want.
Just
you guys
don't
train
think,
the way you want. We'll see you at camp.
I just don't think you can all of a sudden declare, whoever the source is that talked to Tommy Karn, and I think he's got good sources, and obviously this is someone who's connected, who feels like there will be no drama. I'm just not sure you can totally predict that when you're not inside the mind of everybody who's involved in that. There's a lot of moving pieces in a football team. Players, executives, coaches, all of the above. The drama and the fighting that went on, yeah, it looks to be a thing of the past. I hope it doesn't come up again. And I'm not ruling out that it could because people get offended when you start talking about contracts and stuff. It's just that's human nature. It happens. And then all of a sudden you get some drama on your hands. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to do Gronk first, though. They have to figure out Gronk first.
That changes your approach.
No, because Brady can't go get a boatload of money after Gronk takes a huge pay cut. It can't happen the other way around.
I don't disagree.
See?
Because if Gronk comes to Brady, like you said, do you believe what they're trying to pay me? Brady's like, I just got a big check. I don't know.
I think they told Gronk, like, here's our deadline. We need to know what you're doing at this point, and then we'll talk about it. Because they need to change the way what their approach is going to be at free agency if he's not going to be here. Because then you're going to need to start scouting for a tight end, maybe even draft a tight end. You know, that starts before the draft. Free agency is March. It's like a week in March. You're right into free agency. It ain't far away. Like in a month, you need to know what direction you're heading in at the tight end position. Period. Iron it out. Figure it out. He just can't say, I'm coming back and let that float around and they go to him in the summer. We need to take a pay cut. Can't do it. They've had to be talking about this that way. Especially if his side keeps floating out the retirement thing. If you're going to float it out, here's your production. We need to lower the number. But we'll work with you on when we need you and when your availability is. Maybe we'll see you every Wednesday. You know, give you a nice 2 days off. They did it with Bavaro at the end of his career. Extended his career. Mark Bavaro even said it. Giants work with me on that. Help me at the end of my career, extend my career, and I can play. Different time, different day and age. You know, a lot more hitting back then. Full padded practices. You know, but basically, they're walk through shell mode now with just helmets on. That's basically their practices nowadays. So it should help alleviate some of the toll on the tight end. I want him back. I think everybody wants him back. I think the quarterback wants him back. Makes the quarterback's life a lot easier when he's out there.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Is
this Black Crowes? Did you hear my man Jim Louth got broken into his car?
I did.
In the hood?
All they took was some change and a couple dollars from the console.
There's only one thing that they left that they don't really value. A thief would not value. What kind of CD do you have, Jim? CDs?
Jackie Green?
No.
Yeah, that's a CD he had.
Oh, Black Crowes?
No, Jackie Green.
He gave me a Jackie Green.
Oh, okay.
The thief didn't want that. Rough night last night. My cable's not working. Jim's car got broken into.
I lock my car every day, too, but because I was shoveling and moving the cars in and out, like the little going in a pattern to get the stuff cleared, I must not push the button hard enough with my glove on.
So you live in the hood, huh?
No. Nice little two-street neighborhood.
Thieves.
Four people got hit, at least, that we know of.
It's probably one of your neighbors.
Could be. Could be a kid. I have no idea.
It's probably your own kid.
My house keys were in the car, though. Didn't touch the house keys.
So they weren't...
Just under the armrest, grabbed some cash, and...
That's not a real thief. Like,
that's a petty thief right there.
That's kids.
As far as you know.
Looking for $2 bills, and they went to Ace Hardware and had a copy made, and then brought the keys back and put them back in the thing.
Now you're thinking like a grown-up.
Yep. You're going to go home, and your kid's toenails are going to be ripped off. And you're going to say, hey, you're next, pal, unless you give us $1 million.
Jeez.
No, us kidding.
That's bizarre that you would think that way.
I'm thinking like Artie's thinking.
Brad Stevens will join us in about 10 minutes, 12:50. He'll be on the line with us. What was that latest news you had on Kyrie there in the headlines, Artie?
So he is not going to play tonight.
Oh.
So there goes one question.
Good move. Wait, that's good. I don't want him playing tonight.
I don't want to play either.
Get him this rest and be, you know, kicking back and kicking his feet up between now and the end of the All-Star break.
And whether or not that happens, we'll find out.
Yep, we will in 20 minutes.
We don't know what happens after tonight. We just know that he's out for tonight. Aaron Baines also out, left foot contusion. And Terry Rozier is doubtful due to illness for tonight.
When did Stevens coach in this? Was this the one that was in New Orleans?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, we talked to him about that, the uniqueness of that, and trying to get guys minutes and playing all the stars and dealing with those egos.
But Kyrie out tonight, even though Rozier might not play. That's pretty significant. It's not like he's going to try to rough to tough it out because Rozier can't go.
That's a good point, Jim.
Oh, he's definitely not playing that.
There's no way he can play in the All-Star
game. No way. No. Eesh. That'd be a bad look.
There's no way that guy can play in the All-Star
game. That'd be a bad look.
No, nope. Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Well, we'll talk to Brad Stevens about it coming up at 12:50.
There you go.
Just minutes from now.
He's slow playing us. Wants to get treated poorly. For some reason.
Setting himself up so that we all get mad at him.
Why are we
playing in the All-Star game? And then he can leave here and say, oh, Boston hated me.
Yeah. Just trying to do what I did. I like that theory. I earned that.
Is that Josh's theory? Whose theory was that?
Yeah, who did throw that out, by the way?
Yeah, it was Josh.
Josh's theory.
I like it.
It was Josh.
Follow it's not just the radio guys that have that thought. Awful talk radio guys with those theories. Nope. TV people too.
No, that's a TV guy from the team-owned TV station. I think they own like 17% or something. It's like the Globe formerly having a piece of the Red Sox, but not the whole piece. Now the Red Sox own the Globe. John Henry owns both. That paper reporting today on the Red Sox radio booth.
They had a little shakeup, huh? Well, at least one guy's staying. They're bringing in a bunch of
I would say shaking it up when you get like 14 people involved.
How do you have 14 people? I'll just pick two and go.
Just settle on a radio crew.
Yeah. Why do you got to put eight dudes
in? I don't know. I don't know, man.
Weird.
I don't know. Chad's
in like when you have 20 quarterbacks, you have none.
Chad.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, I think they should definitely take a quarterback this year. I mean, the draft class this year and last year, there's no comparison. I mean, you had five quarterbacks start last year, right? So you had, Jackson, Rosen, Donald, Mayfield, Josh Allen. You ain't going to see that this year.
No. This class is much weaker.
Wouldn't you rather draft in a year when the class is good and deep?
I know, but listen, Beagle, you could get a guy in the third round. Murray isn't even in the top 200. You can get that kid who looks good, Tyree Jackson from the University of Buffalo. You can draft a guy, Brady, be more liable to bring him along. Right. And it could be like
Brady loves bringing along those kids coming in.
Chad,
to
let me
job.
Ask you your opinion, because obviously you know about some of these college guys coming out.
Okay.
Do you think Patriots at the back end of the second round with any of their like multiple third round picks?
That's
you,
what I was thinking.
So you're not talking about 32. You're talking about second or third round.
Yeah, they already have two, right? Then they're going to get a few more from the compensary, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you got a lot of guys like Zoe said. You're going to have that second tier. There isn't really no top guy. I like the kid Locke from Missouri, but you're going to have the kid Rippon, the kid Jones. There's another kid from San Diego State. I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys that you can get in the third round. You know what I mean? The Witches could coach him up, McDaniel, and then a few years maybe he'll be Brady's successor.
All right, listen, if you're telling me, Chad, that you're going to draft a guy in the back end of the second round or the third round, I get no issue with that whatsoever. Go for it.
Kid Jones from Duke's going to be a first-rounder, most likely. People are saying first-rounder for him.
Are any of these lower-level guys any good?
Oh, this kid's 6'5", too.
Who's that, Jones?
The Jones.
Yeah.
Paul.
Cutcliffe. He's a Cutcliffe guy.
Yeah. I like tall quarterbacks.
You're getting a Manning clone.
I want a 6'5 guy. I don't want the 5'9 guy. I want
Give
the
me the guy,
guy
that's somewhere between Eli
I'm
and
the heightest.
Peyton.
I've told you.
The guy Jackson from Buffalo is 6'7", I think.
Beautiful. Bring him in.
Look at him. Look at the kid from Duke. Oh,
looks good. Looks like you.
He does.
Yeah.
Look at that arm.
That first shot.
Look at that.
If you go back to that first shot of this kid from Duke. That has a very, very Zoe-like stature to it.
Yeah, it's got that.
If we can get it one more time.
It's got that.
That, right there.
Lumberjack look.
Look at that.
Is he throwing a check down right there?
That is Scott Zolak right there.
Does that look like he's throwing a check down?
That is not a check down.
He's looking up, and that trajectory, we're looking at 45-plus right there.
That's an arrow through the roof right
there. What's his name again?
Daniel Jones. Duke.
Daniel Jones.
Easy name. Hey, Danny boy.
Danny Jones.
17 available? He wears 17 in college. Yeah, we can put
he's tall.
Slap a 17 on him, Jim.
That makes me like him right away. Nice and tall.
Tall drink of water. Tell you what, that Daniel Jones, boy, that kid from Duke, he could throw the ball far that day. We were up there on that tarred roof. Threw it over the other building. Sat down, nothing like having a couple cold pops with your friends up there on a hot summer's day.
Uh-huh, yeah.
MVP of the Senior Bowl.
Let me ask you something, officer. Do you trust your wife?
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
12:50 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Time now to go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline as we welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Helps if I turn my mic on. Got off to a great start. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. A couple setbacks for you guys over the weekend. You got to be proud the way your team responded last night down in Philadelphia. Fair to say?
No, it was really a good. I mean, it was a good win, and obviously shorthanded. Not only Kyrie, but also Baines. Not having Baines against Embiid's tough, and I thought our guys were really dialed in, really played hard. Played with a great purpose on offense. I thought took good shots and tried to find the right places to attack. And, you know, all that adds up to only giving yourself a chance to win, right? So, you know, we were fortunate to come out with that win. But that was a good character win for this group. And, you know, I thought that obviously coming off the weekend, we needed it. Now the challenging part about the NBA is you got another one the next night, and this is another extremely physical team.
Well, it's funny you bring up the physicality, because after the game last night, Brett Brown was saying that he didn't believe his team had been able to match the Celtics' physicality. And he said, you know, he sort of indicated that that's been an ongoing problem. Do you view your team as a physical team?
You know, I think in some ways, yeah. You know, one of the things about, you know, sometimes you would look at just stats that would indicate that you're very physical, and we're not at the top of some of those statistical markers, you know, free throw rate, 2-point shooting, you know, offensive rebound percentage. But I think when we're very good, we're very versatile and we hold our ground well. And so it may not be reflective in stats, but I think we can be a really good physical team. It helps when Baines is available.
Yeah.
So that's what's so encouraging when he's not. Obviously, I think we take we've got some guys that are extremely contagious in that regard, Baines being one, but Smart being right there at the top of the list as well as a guy that can really get into people, make it tough, make physical tough plays, dive on the floor, do all those little things that add up and give you a chance to win games.
What bugged you the most of the way some of the things unraveled in those two games over the weekend, whether it was the product on the floor, maybe it was, you know, Marcus Morris, you know, addressing some of it publicly, and your team getting past that? You see after the game, a lot of guys took to social media last night saying great team win, guys like Hayward, Morris, everybody. You know, it seems like everybody's on the same page now.
What Marcus said didn't bother me. You know, I just think that one of the things I love about Marcus Morris is he's willing to speak his mind, and he's willing to speak it right to our team. And it's okay if you say stuff like that. You know, I've always been a believer that the thing that kills teams are unnamed sources. And if you're willing to say something and it challenges your group and you're willing to put your name next to it, that's okay. Like, I think that those are things that when you have a guy like Marcus who is respected, who deserves to be respected, then, you know, I think that that's a good thing. And it wasn't a shot at any one person, and it was a shot at our collective self, because the number one thing that stood out to me from those two games this weekend was we pulled apart. Like, we just didn't, when things started going, you know, adversely, we didn't get galvanized. We didn't come together and create a solution. And so that was the most encouraging thing about last night, you know, because you're playing against really good teams every night. If we play individually and we don't play as a five-man group on both ends of the floor with great purpose, we're going to get beat. The teams are too good. And so it's really important that, you know, we do that. Now, you're always, I said this last night, one thing about January and February in the NBA is you're going to have clunkers. You know, we've now played 57 straight games. You know, this will be the last one before a break. But the reality is it's how you respond, and it's encouraging how we responded. Now let's see if we can back it up, because we're really going to have to play well tonight because of the physicality.
You know, he used that phrase, bunch of individuals, and you just talked about it in those two games. Is that something that's been an ongoing problem? Is that something you see as a problem going forward? Is it something that applies, you know, to the locker room and not just what's happening on the court?
I thought we started the season more concerned about not stepping on each other's toes than necessarily just playing the best that we can play and letting it all work itself out. So it wasn't like a malicious intent to be selfish. It wasn't an attack on anybody in that regard. I just thought that that's where we started the season. It's hard to call this group, generally over the course of the long season, anything but a good functioning team, because since then we've been the second best offense in the league since we started 10-10, and the ball's really, really whipped around. Our assist numbers are way up from last year. And so it really is one of those things where I think when we don't have success for whatever reason, probably because of the expectations coming in, both our own expectations, individual expectations, and outside expectations, there's probably a little bit of an overreaction to that stuff. And so ultimately, again, that's what's encouraging about nights like last night. I think for the most part, this group has played as a team. But in those two games, Marcus Morris was right to say that those aren't fun because it sucks to blow a lead like that. And, you know, I thought that we did that in part because we didn't have five guys that came together.
Did you get a cheesesteak last night? Were you part of the cheesesteak crew?
No.
Oh, missing out.
I'm, one of the things I've learned over time is that, these guys recover a lot quicker than I do if I have a cheesesteak. So it's I'm just trying to maintain good health. We've got another bug going through our team. I'm just trying to maintain good health right now.
Stay away from that.
No doubt.
Yeah. So Kyrie, you're going to be without Kyrie again tonight, correct?
We are.
Okay. What is the plan for him for the All-Star game? Is he planning on playing? Are you aware of what his plans are? How's that going to be handled?
Yeah, I have no idea what his plans are. I haven't talked to him or our trainers about it. My obvious focus has been on the Philadelphia 76ers and the Detroit Pistons. So he's been day-to-day. He's not quite ready to go tonight. I have no idea what the plan of attack is. My assumption would be that, you know, if we would have a regular season game that he could play on Friday or Saturday, that he would play. And I actually look at it as, to be honest with you, if he can, it's a good thing to be able to run up and down the court a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played in a while. And so even though those All-Star games are, you know, just glorified pickup games in a lot of ways, I think, you know, just being able to run up and down, move a little bit, get ready. We play next Thursday in Milwaukee. And, you know, if you're not able to do that for now going on 2 weeks or 12 days, it's not as advantageous. So if he can, even if he can move a little bit, if he is cleared to play, especially if he was, you know, fully 110% healthy, then I would encourage him to.
So you have no problem if you're playing it. I mean, and you coached in this game, so you're around it.
I'm looking at it more, Scott, from the standpoint of all of our guys have to do something physically when we can't be with them over the next week because of the NBA rules. So, like, they're all going to have their own personalized workout plans, schedules. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are doing 1-on-0, 2-on-2, 3-on-2, whatever the case may be, wherever they are. They're all going to have to do something. And so, to me, moving up and down the court, if you can do it, is a positive.
So you're indicating, though, that he's going to have to get cleared by your medical staff before any of that is a possibility.
That's all in, you know, they're in constant communication with him and them. And, you know, obviously, if he can't go, he's not going to go. But, you know, that's going to ultimately be all of them putting their minds together. But it's, you know, it's not something that I'm even, to be honest, thinking about other than this quick conversation with you guys. We got to get ready to figure out how to guard Griffin and Drummond tonight.
All right. Gordon Hayward had himself a night last night, and we've spent some time talking about it today. He's had his ups and downs this year. How do you get him to now string that into a set of games? How do you get him to come back tonight and do the same things over again?
Well, one of the things that got lost in our Clippers game because we blew that lead was he played really well You know, he had 19 in that game, made two huge shots that gave us a chance in the last couple of minutes. I think people, and rightfully so, are more likely to really say, hey, he's turning the corner, he's making the right strides based on whether the ball goes in or not. And the reality is when we play through him, he almost always makes the right play for his team. Sometimes that results in him getting shots and looks. Sometimes that results in other guys getting them. And, you know, he's been very consistent with that. When the ball goes in a little bit more and he's more aggressive looking at the goal, I think that we all benefit from that. But that's, you know, I think that's probably what people react to when they say he had a good game or didn't. We're just going to keep running actions where he can make reads for us, pick out the right guy to make the play to. And if it's him, great. And if it's Al Horford, great. If it's somebody else, great. We just need to keep making the right play. And that's, you know, even as he's come back physically, you know, that's one thing that you can count on him to do is he just knows how to play. And he very rarely misses a pass that's there. He very rarely misses a play for somebody else. And we just need him to keep doing that.
All right, Brad, appreciate the time. What's your plan for the break? Get some time off, recharge?
I'm going to recharge. I'm going to try to do that a little bit. I'm going to spend a little, you know, some time with my kids, obviously, and my wife, really looking forward to that. But, you know, this goes quick, and a lot of my energy and attention will be on how we play the last 24 games of the season. The stretch we're in is really tough, and we didn't do ourselves any favors by starting it off with those two games last weekend.
They have those classes at Home Depot, too, like change up your backsplash, you know, in the kitchen and stuff. You know, Trace wants to switch anything up in the kitchen there and in your house.
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds like a good thing to do post-coaching day.
Yeah. Don't do it. I tried it. It's a mess.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Retile the bathroom.
You make enough money, you could hire someone to do that.
So. You think you could? Well, yeah. I wondered if you could do that.
I'll come over. Yeah. We'll throw a couple back, watch some hoops. Yeah. We do that.
No, that's not the work.
Good.
You need to do the work.
We'll handle the dessert and drinks. You can come over and do it.
All right, get that ginger ale ready. Coach, good luck against Detroit tonight.
All right. See you guys.
See you. All right, Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.